Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Memo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Not much, man. Glad to be here with you. Glad to, you know, be back and have an all-new episode with you again, as always, Mac. And, you know, I want to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the latest episode of Sports Urban Legend. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and we're going to talk about the Rangers' unfortunate loss in Game 5, and now they're in a do-or-die situation. We're also going to talk about the latest Carmelo Anthony trade rumors with the Clippers, also the current state of the Mets and the Yankees, and also give our thoughts about the payback pay-per-view event, including news on a new name of a WWE pay-per-view event, which is arguably the worst name in history, sports in any pay-per-view history, but we'll get into that, you know, momentarily. But let's lead off with the Rangers. And, man, like I was mentioning, they're in a do-die situation. They lost by the final score of 5-4 in overtime, and, you know, they basically blew another two-goal lead yet again. And they had a 2-0 lead. Fast put them, you know, got them on the board. But, you know, it was for nothing because, you know, they couldn't hold on to this lead. Obviously, it went into overtime, tied 4-4, and Torres scored the game-winning goal, you know, in overtime. So now the Rangers, man, they're really in a dire situation because the next time if they lose any of these two games, they're basically gone, eliminated from the playoffs, and the Senators would advance. So, yeah, basically, you know, the Rangers, they lost the first two games, you know, in Canadian Tire, the Canadian Tire Arena, and Now they have to try to go back to the Garden and win another game in the Garden, which they did early on in this series, which made them tie up this series in the first place. So basically now they gotta go they're gonna have to go game six. They're gonna go back to the Garden. And on Tuesday night, and if necessary, if they could tie up this series, they'll go on Thursday night to back to the Canadian Tire Center in Ottawa, Canada. So the Rangers, man, they really need to dig in deep so they could try to force this potential Game 7 series. So now they got to go down to Game 6 and defend their home court, home ice, I should say.
Well, you know, fortunate thing for the Rangers is that they're heading back home. So, you know, they play well at home. And I know Lundqvist is going to be motivated and pumped up, you know, to stop every shot on goal. You know, like you said, they're one game away from being eliminated from these playoffs. So Tuesday night is going to be a do or die. So hopefully they could win and force a game seven, take it back to Ottawa. And but, you know, never count the Rangers out. You know, people were counting them out against the Canadiens in that first round. So, you know, they're down, but they're not out.
Yeah, I think they'll force it to game seven. Hopefully, win the series. But you know, it's not gonna be easy. They gotta take it one game at a time.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough. But I have faith that the Rangers can do it.
I agree with you, and you know, they need their big guys to start scoring, because prior to today, the other team, the Senators, you know, their big guys weren't scoring until today. So basically, you know, the Rangers need, in order for them to advance, you know, to the next round, they really need to get their act together.
Yeah, definitely.
Or else they're gonna be playing playoff games with the Knicks.
Yeah.
At Rucker Park instead of Madison Square Garden, so they, you know, it's do or die.
Yep.
And right now the Senator team, you know, kind of reminds me of that Kings team that won that defeated the Rangers in the Stanley Cup like a few years ago, when like they never, no matter how many runs they led, no matter how many times the Rangers led, you know, the opposition always came back and, you know, beat them in the end.
Yep.
Yeah, kind of reminds me of the Royals with the Mets in the 2015 World Series. It's like, you know, when you're facing a team of destiny, it doesn't matter how many, you know, points or runs, depending on what sort you're talking about. If you're a team of destiny, you overcome it and come out on top. Rangers are hoping they'll pull their best impression of the 1994 Stanley Cup team and win it again. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. But if anyone could come back, it's definitely the Rangers. We've seen it before in the past. So.
Absolutely. So hopefully they'll be able to do it again. But no, shifting gears, with the Yankees, man, these guys are, you know, smoking hot. I mean, they can't lose a game. And Aaron Judge, man, he just keeps hitting home runs and home runs. I mean, this guy has at least 12 home runs in the year. I mean, this guy is ridiculous.
Yeah, he's been hot. He's, I think he set a record. Well, he won the American League Rookie of the Month for April because of his hot start. And I think he is second or third. The second or third fastest Yankee to have 13 home runs in the first 27 games of the season. But yeah, he's been a beast. I mean, coming into this year, you know, Gary Sanchez was supposed to be, you know, the guy, the face of the Yankees, but it, more and more it's looking like Judge might be the guy. You know, he has that Jeter persona with that Dave Winfield power. You know, the guy is, it's been fantastic. But overall, I mean, this whole team, they've been hitting well. The pitching has been balanced with the bullpen and starters. And, you know, their offense has been explosive. They're hitting a lot of home runs. They're getting on base a lot. You know, it's – and no lead is safe. You know, they're never out of the game. Well, when you think they're down, they're able to come back like they did against the Orioles a week ago, where they came back from 9 runs down. So – they're playing awesome right now. It's fun to watch.
You're absolutely right, man. Judge, man, he's been the judge, the jury, and the executioner on the opposition. I mean, this guy's already a star in New York City.
Oh yeah.
I mean, all he gotta do is stay healthy. I mean, I know we've had some, you know, some pretenders like you know, Shane Spencer and, you know, in the past. But, you know, this guy looks like he's a legit guy. Probably the best homegrown Yankee power hitter since Cano, you know. Don't you know?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
This guy's really good. I mean, obviously Sanchez was awesome last year too. I mean, but this guy, he, you know, especially these two guys, I mean, those guys are phenomenal.
I mean, they're going to be, you know, homegrown talents. They're going to be threats for years to come. You know, Sanchez has gotten off to a slow start here. He did have two hits tonight, but he hasn't really showed his power yet like he did late last year. But once he gets going, and you have Judge, I mean, those two guys are going to be, you know, they're going to be scaring a lot of pitchers.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you got, the Red Sox and the Orioles, man. They, you know, those teams are tough too. You know, the Yankees have a tough battle, you know, in this division with these guys. Not to mention those two teams have bad blood with each other, especially involving Manny Machado being thrown at multiple times.
Oh yeah,
in this feud. So I'm gonna ask you a question, huge Yankee fan. Do you which series do you, which in 2017 which mm-hmm. which rivalry do you think is bigger right now, Yankees Red Sox or Red Sox Orioles right now?
Oh, Red Sox Orioles by far. I mean, right? You know, the Yankees Red Sox rivalry, that's kind of simmered down a bit. You know, you don't have the same guys that were involved in that rivalry, you know, in the early 2000s.
Ortiz, Jeter.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are gone. You don't have that much tension. But right now, the Orioles, Red Sox, I mean, that's, you know, that's been going on for the last few years. So, yeah, especially this year with the Manny Machado, you know, being thrown out several times. So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And, you know, and I appreciate your honesty as always. You know, I know you're a diehard Yankee fan, but You had to keep it real, you know. The Red Sox and the Orioles one has, as for the moment right now, have overtaken the Red Sox-Yankee rivalry, as, you know, we both just mentioned the reasons why. But,
I hate both of those teams, but, you know.
Well, obviously.
And both of them right now have to look up to the Yankees in the division, so screw both of them.
Oh, yes. And just remember something. You know what else the Yankees, what the Orioles and the Red Sox have in common?
What?
They both lost to the Mets in the World Series.
All right.
Orioles in 69 after the Orioles was a powerhouse. I think they won in 66 and then 70 afterwards, if memory serves me right.
Right.
And, of course, you know, the Red Sox during the Babe Ruth days and then after David Ortiz came over in 20, you know, they lost to the Yankees in 03 and then 04 they overcame a 3-0 deficit in the ALCS to go to the World Series and win their first title since 1918. And ever since then they've won what, three titles ever since? So
yeah.
The Yankees, you know, moniker as the evil empire was morphed into the Red Sox because the Red Sox was basically winning the same way how the Yankees were doing it, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yep.
So the Red Sox became the team they, you know, they hated. So as a result, you know, now the Red Sox is one of the, you know, top teams in baseball right now. At least a decade now.
Yeah, although they've been struggling this year, their offense without David Ortiz looks suspect. By the end of the season, you know, they should be there. But, Red Sox fans should have some concerns about that offense. It doesn't look good right now.
Right. Absolutely. But back to our aforementioned Mets, their offense has picked up. I mean, they've won six of their last seven games. Last week, the Mets was horrible. I mean, they, you know, even highlighted by losing 23-7 last week. But around that span, the Mets offense has been scoring. They've scored at least 5 runs in the past, what, 7 games. So the Mets offense has been heated up. But the worst news in the Mets land is Syndergaard, after refusing to take an MRI from I think it was a shoulder injury. I think they found out there was like a tear in his lat muscle. So now he's on the DL, and they're expecting him not to come back for like weeks, like about 2 months or so. So, you know, that's the tough news, about Syndergaard. And also, Cabrera got injured in tonight's game that just ended about a half hour ago. And Cabrera's injury looks, they haven't figured out the final diagnosis yet. But man, it looks serious. It looked really bad. But I think they're gonna run tests to see if he's gonna go on the DL. It looked like he twisted his wrist or something, landing on it on a
Tonight?
diving play. Yeah, because they had a rain. That was the play just before the rain delay. After that play, after he twisted his arm or whatever happened, after they took him off the field, they had a 39-minute rain delay.
Oh, wow.
But the Mets was able to get that victory, and they bashed the Marlins by the final score of 11-3. So the Mets are finally got their ship righted. And even there was a game that they play, I think it was Wednesday. Let me see, what day was that? It was Thursday night. They were leading, I think, they were leading 3-1. Jay Bruce hit a home run, which would have been his 10th home run, but that game got rained out, so his stats didn't matter. His 2-1 home run didn't matter. The Mets three what would have been a 3-1 lead got evaporated thanks to the rain. But Mets are playing well. After last week, they were brutal. They couldn't pitch, and that continued also Friday night, because Rafael Montero, a former prospect, now suspect, this guy out of the pen. I mean, he's decent out of the pen. I mean, he has potential out of the pen, but he's just really horrible, especially as a starter. So, I mean, if he keeps it up, he's gonna be unemployment teammates with Mejia if he keeps pitching like this. But the Mets, they turned it around, and let's hope they can keep this going.
Yeah, minority owner Jeter is not going to be happy about this Marlins loss.
He's definitely not happy about that loss. Oh, and I've heard people mention this, watching on TV and listening to radio and other stuff like that. People are, brought up an important question. Do you think him being a Marlins, partially a Marlins owner, does that mess up his Yankees legacy, since he was always associated as a Yankee throughout his whole career? Do you think that ruins
No,
it? Or
of course
I
not.
think you I think you agree with me. Basically, it's two separate things.
Yeah.
He retired. He played his entire career as a Yankee, and now he's just moving on to a business
Yeah,
venture.
exactly. I mean, just
So
like
yeah.
Michael Jordan, remember he's the owner of Charlotte Bobcats, right?
Well,
A
yeah, but then
minority
again,
owner also.
he did leave and play for the Wizards, so
Yeah,
that
that's
kind of
true.
tainted the end of his career.
Yeah, but
But
those are two separate things, I mean, that doesn't taint his career as a player for the Chicago Bulls, so
absolutely.
it's two separate things. Shouldn't matter.
You
Unless
yeah.
Jeter decided to be a minority owner for the Mets or the Red Sox, then that'd be different.
I would agree with that. I totally agree with that. So, Yeah, and moving on to the Knicks, the rumors is that Porzingis skipped a meeting, so as a result, now there's rumors that he might, you know, there's other teams that, you know, had trade talks with the Knicks to see if Knicks would be interested in trading him, which I don't think that's gonna happen yet, even though you know, the Knicks' current young franchise player Porzingis does feel, dare I say, disenfranchised with this team that has lost 50 games every year that he's been a member of this team. Not to mention Carmelo Anthony, you know, one of their best players, you know, in a long time. Arguably, no doubt about their best player on the team is basically being forced out of the Big Apple. And the latest rumor is that he's going to be traded for to the Clippers for J.J. Redick if J.J. Redick agrees to a signing trade, which would give J.J. Redick reportedly $60 million a year. Austin Rivers, which is the head coach, Doc Rivers' son, and I'm trying to think who else would also be in that deal. Don't expect Chris Paul to be in that deal because Chris Paul is a free agent and most likely he'll re-sign. Blake Griffin is also a free agent. He's expected to re-sign. So basically, the Knicks would just be doing Melo a favor and the Clippers a favor. I mean, yeah,
that
they
would be
would
a
be
horrible
getting.
deal if that if that if they did that. That's a horrible deal.
I don't, you know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, you're not gonna get anybody back for Melo, you
Should
know,
play, you
comparable
should
wise.
deal him for Griffin. Seeing how Griffin has been injury prone these last few years, I mean, that would be more of a good trade instead of Redick and Rivers. I mean, come on. Come on
I agree
now.
with you, but you know, problem is Phil Jackson let his card out that he's desperate to trade it for him. If people didn't know we were so thirsty to trade him, Phil Jackson was so thirsty to get rid of the guy, maybe we would have got a fairer deal. But by him, that's like playing poker, and you're like PO'd or sad by the hand you're dealt. You're supposed to have a poker face in order to win. And clearly, the Knicks organization does not have a poker face. Everybody knows that they're trying to trade Melo, and they're not going to get anything of value back for him.
Well, they're gonna have to give up more than that, you know, because that's not even near equal value. That could
Yeah,
be
well,
a trade that could be vetoed if that doesn't equal the. Because come on, Redick and Rivers. I mean, come on. I know
then they're
Melo
going
is
to get what? Wesley Johnson or something? And I forgot what else, but I
They
think
need
that's
to put
about it.
more players in that trade. Maybe some draft picks also, you know.
I think the Knicks would be giving one of their second round picks in that trade if my memory serves me right in that deal.
Yeah,
But
Knicks would be giving up too much for that. That'd be a horrible deal if Knicks did that.
yeah, I definitely agree with you, but I think it's a done deal because Knicks would give him up for a bag of wet tissue paper because they really want to get rid of Melo. And I think they'll get anything back for him. And it won't be, I think it'll be Hugh, I think it'll be Hewing, you know, the Hewing trade, you know, on that level. Maybe slightly better since you're getting young guys who have potential back, but other than that, I wouldn't do the trade, but
I don't see that happening. Yeah, I honestly don't see that. I don't think that trade would fall. I don't think that would go through. You know, that would be a horrible deal.
I think it will. Anything that's against the Knicks, I think the NBA will sign up for that to happen.
Yeah, the deal that should be made is Griffin for Melo. That's
I
that would
agree
be
with
close
that.
to even, you know. But that deal that
I
you
would agree
just
with that.
said right there, that deal doesn't make any sense.
That's the rumors I keep hearing. That's the deal that's going to happen, most likely.
But
moving on, let's talk Payback. And Payback was a lot better than I thought it would be. I thought it would be horrible. Enzo and Cass defeated Gallows. They're the number one contenders, you know, as we expected that they would be. Let me see what else happened. Chris Jericho defeats Kevin Owens. That was a surprise of the night to me, one of the surprises of the night, because I wanted Jericho to win. I mean, it was Payback, but there was rumors that Jericho was going to Payback would be his last pay-per-view event. So basically, he would lose. You know, he wasn't going to retain the title. But WWE made a good decision. Jericho won. And then Kevin Owens got a rematch and lost to Kevin Owens. Now he could, start his Fozzy concert and promote his new Judas album, which is basically what I was proposing that WWE should have did with The Rock Cena, twice in a lifetime match, have Rock win the title, retain the title, and then lose the title on Raw, but. You know, the good thing that they did that with Jericho. He got to win the United States title, get his revenge on Kevin Owens. And on the next day, on his way out, he loses to, Kevin Owens. So Kevin Owens retains the title and get back some credibility that he lost when he lost to Goldberg in 22 seconds.
Yeah.
In a non-competitive match.
And, it was a good win for Jericho at Payback, you know. That was a good win.
And then Austin Aries versus Nevels. He wins by disqualification, by a lame way. Neville grabs the referee's shirt, pulls him down. The referee gets upset. He calls for a disqualification, which allows Neville to retain the title. And Austin Aries gets a hollow victory, which means he still doesn't have the title. So, I mean, that's just one of the dumbest ways to get disqualified. You know, I don't know why WWE, you know, does that. A villain attacks the referee, and then the referee is going to disqualify the match, which basically in the advantage of the person who cheated, who retains the title. But, hey, we all know it's scripted, so.
Yeah, Neville is finding ways to win these days, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not in a good way. I mean, you know, he's supposed to – Neville's supposed to be winning by, you know, his wrestling talent, but he's been winning these matches by disqualification and by being a villain, you know?
Well, that is what –
he's not the Neville that we're used to.
Well, yeah, he turned into a villain like a few months ago. So, you know, he's basically doing everything he can to retain the title like a true villain does. And apparently now he has T.J. Perkins as his protege, similar to Dana Brooks and Charlotte's relationship last year. And then Matt Hardy versus Matt and Jeff Hardy, the Hardy Boys versus Cesaro and Sheamus. The Hardy Boys retained the title. As we all expected, Cesaro and Sheamus turn heel finally and attacked the Hardy Boys after the match. So, I mean, you know, it was a good match. And this opens up new possibilities with Sheamus and Cesaro as heels officially on the same page. And, should be a continued feud between these two tag teams.
Yeah.
And Alexa Bliss versus Bayley. Bayley was in her hometown, and she lost to Alexa Bliss, which now makes Alexa Bliss the first woman to win the Raw and the SmackDown Women's title. So congratulations to Alexa Bliss. And as usual, the hometown hero loses at home in front of, in Bayley's case, her family.
Yeah, Bayley was looking like the female John Cena for a moment there, you know. But Alexa Bliss showing that, you know, she's one of the best wrestlers, if not the best wrestler in WWE right now, you know. And for some reason, my baby sister thinks she could beat up Alexa Bliss because they're about the same size. But Alexa Bliss, man, she's, you know, she's a talent, man. She's...
Yeah,
I would say she's probably the best wrestler in WWE, the best female wrestler in WWE right now, aside
could
from Charlotte.
Yeah, it could be. She definitely has potential. There's definitely going to be an Alexa versus Charlotte matchup down the line. Probably next year, another shakeup or so. The match that I found, you know, coming into the thing that I really wanted to see was the Orton versus Wyatt House of Horror, the first ever House of Horror match. You know, I thought it was all right. I didn't think it was that bad. It was interesting. You know, I know they, you know, it was like a horror movie thing. I thought it was entertaining. You know, Wyatt attacked Orton with a TV, not a TV, a refrigerator, and you know, they had a brawl. It was like a horror movie. You know, I thought it was an interesting match. You know, the first part of it. What was your thoughts on it?
Well, you know, I still haven't seen Payback. I missed it.
Oh, you did?
Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember I texted you that I missed it.
Oh, I thought you saw it by now.
I was going to watch the replay, but I didn't get the chance. So, I'm probably not going to see it since, you know, I already know the results anyway. But
right.
I did end up seeing the last match, the Roman Reigns, Strowman, and some of the Randy Orton Wyatt, I did see when Wyatt, you know, hit him with the was it him?
Refrigerator?
Yeah.
Refrigerator. I guess he couldn't throw the kitchen sink since it was bolted down. You know how they say he threw everything, including the kitchen sink?
Yeah.
I guess that was bolted down, so.
Yeah, that was pretty hilarious. But, he pretty much locked him inside the house, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
And, Bray Wyatt got his revenge finally.
Yeah. And then they continued it after the Seth Rollins Samoa Joe match, which Seth Rollins won. They continued, you know, in the ring as a for a windfall.
Mm-hmm.
Basically Wyatt won, which I didn't think, you know, I was hoping he'd win. I mean, since the title was on the line, the title should have been on the line anyway because Jinder Mahal stole it. That wasn't Wyatt's fault. And, you know, Jinder Mahal and his Singh brother, Hingeman, attacked Orton, which allowed Bray Wyatt to hit the Sister Abigail and finally pin Orton for the win, which he should have done at WrestleMania. But we got into that at the WrestleMania recap episode not too long ago. And
Jinder Mahal said the PEDs.
Yeah, what's his name? Jinder Mahal, yeah, for real. He does.
He should be tested, man.
And now he's gonna get his chance to battle Orton for the title.
Yeah, of course.
What was I going to say? I can't remember. Lastly was the Braun Strowman defeating Roman Reigns, which I didn't see that coming. I mean, you know, Roman Reigns has been, you know, promoted to be Super Cena, but I'm glad WWE, you know, they've been trying to promote Strowman. So this, you know, Strowman had to defeat Roman Reigns to keep his momentum going, especially after he lost a silly fashion to Kalisto in a I'm trying to think what was it, a casket match? No, a dumpster match. So it was a good match. I mean, Braun Strowman destroyed Roman Reigns, and you know,
Reigns was coughing up blood.
Yeah, Roman Reigns was bleeding, and then after the pay-per-view event, Roman Reigns was going to the hospital after he didn't accept, you know, any hospital, you know, assistance, you know, him assisting him to go to the hospital, any stretcher. He was going to walk into the ambulance, and then Strowman yelled, "I'm not done with you yet." And he speared himself into a ripped the ambulance door open because he tried to spear Roman Reigns, but Roman Reigns moved out of the way, and he Strowman just speared himself right into a ambulance door and ripped the door off, the impact of the spear that he did. And then him and Roman Reigns and Strowman were attacking each other for a few seconds, and then Roman Reigns, hit him, and basically Strowman, ran away basically, while Roman Reigns went inside the hospital. And this was after Payback. This was like in the Raw what, Talkback, whatever the name of the show, the after Raw show that they have occasionally, and yeah, especially after Raw pay per view events. So that, I mean, I got to give WWE credit. I thought Payback was going to stink big time. But, most importantly, the people who were supposed to win won. And, they had entertaining matches. So kudos to WWE. I thought this pay-per-view was going to be horrible. I wasn't even going to plan on watching this pay-per-view event at all. But, WWE pulled a rabbit out of a hat. You got to give them credit.
Yes. Yeah, definitely it was worthwhile. Too bad I didn't see it. Well, I didn't
see
most of it.
Yeah, in a few weeks they're gonna have Backlash, where AJ Styles is gonna try to win the United States title from Kevin Owens instead of the WWE title, the United States title, and Jinder Mahal will be fighting Randy Orton. So we'll give you guys our previews in the coming weeks about that. So, I want to thank you, Mac, for coming on the show as always.
Oh, wait, before you end the show, you wanted to say something about a horrible pay-per-view name, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I did. Why, thank you. Yes, so basically, Brock Lesnar is expected to defend his title most likely for the first time in July. That's like 3 months from now, folks. In a drum roll, please. A Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view event. I mean, come on, man. Come on.
Oh,
we
man.
Just. Well, I'm gonna leave you guys with that. We'll get into that more next week. I mean, the absurdity of that title. I mean, I just could go on and on and on with this, but we'll talk more about that next week, hopefully. So I want to thank you again, Mac, for coming on the show.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And I want to thank you, folks, for listening to another episode of Sports Urban Legend. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo. And, of course, I'll see you guys next week. Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen. Peace.